Okay, Refuah Shlemus for the week. David Avram ben Miriam, Orli Pnei bat Rachel Frida, Yael Miriam bat Chaya, Daphne Chaya bat Sari, Lana Mira bat Dina, Reza bat Pesha, Rafael Aviv, Rachel ben Sipori, Yoshua Dan ben Naomi, Roni bat Sara, Ava Amuna bat Chava, Shlomo Zalman ben Estrelea, Vili Loi Nishmat Rav Tzvi Chaim ben Lea Eto, Vamosh Chaim ben Ahuba. I'd like to start at the bottom of Samach Bet Amabet, the last word, Gufa. Amar Rabbi Ami. Zibach v'kitzir v'nisech v'heleim echad eino chayav el echad. So this related to something brought up yesterday. They're now going in depth into something Rabbi Ami said, which was, if you do a number of acts of worshipping Avodah Zarah, Yom Zabach, Mekater, Menasech, all those, v'heleim echad, what is heleim echad? It means that you didn't know it was usher to do, and you did it, and then you did another act, and you did another act, and then after you did all those acts, somebody said, do you know that it's usher? And you said, oh, I didn't realize. So according to this, even though you did several acts of worshiping Avodah Zarah, you're only chayav once. So Amar Abaye, my time at Rabbi Ami, what's the reason? Amar Kra, lo ta'avdem. When the pasuk says lo ta'avdem, have you seen this pasuk before? This is in, where is it? Here. Lo tshachave lehem velo tavdem, and shmo perakaf pasukei. Ki anuchi Hashem alokecha el kana, buked avon avat albanim, al shilushim ve'al ribayim lesonai. So lo tshachave lehem velo tavdem. Tavdem is this general category, which shows you that they're all hakatuva sa'an kulan avoda achat. That any sort of avoda is considered, one general act. So now the Gemara says, we have Rabbi Ami saying this. We had Abaye explaining what's Rabbi Ami's logic. So then the Gemara says, Umi Amar Abaye Hachi. Did Abaye really say this, that you're only chayav el echat? V'ha Amar Abaye, shalosh ishtachava'ot b'avodat kochavim lama. Why does it say three different psukim about bowing down to idols? If you notice, by the way, that the Gemara is struggling with the fact that Avodah Zarah is mentioned countless times in the Torah, right? Countless. And because of that, they keep going back to Darshan, but they're not exactly doing it in the most systematic manner, because every time they do it, they're not quoting every single verse that appears. Even here, you'll see in a minute, we'll look at Rashi. So where are these three Hishtachavaot? Because it actually is mentioned more times. So look at Rashi. Hishtachavaot. Lo tishtachave lehem da'aseret hadibrot. That's the first one. Shmo Perkav. Ki lo tishtachave la'el acher in Shmo Lamedalid, after Cheda Egel. Ve lo tishtachave la'elohem in Shmo Kap Gimel. But now, for us, just going to point out, but there's more than three, right? Where else does it appear? Obviously, if it appears in the Aseret HaDibrot in Shmot, then it also appears in the Aseret HaDibrot in Dvarim. So he claims, v'ishtachavad didibrot achronot lo chashiv. Daridure kamahad yolei Moshe l'Yisrael masha shema v'sinai. We don't count that as an additional one, because that was just Moshe repeating what he said at Matan Torah. So that doesn't count in the count. But obviously, in all these cases, they're quoting all sorts of psukim, and sometimes they say, well, what about that one? What about that one? So now, why does it mention three times that you can't bow down to idols? Echad l'kidarka, echad shelo kidarka, ve'echad l'chalek l'dvarav. Echad l'chalek. Sorry, I didn't read that right. One is kidarka. One is to show you can't bow down when that's the method we bow down to idols, those idols. One is an idol that nobody really bows down to, but you bow down to them. That's shelo kidarka. And echad l'chalek, what's l'chalek? Based on yesterday's stuff, right? It means to show that each act is a separate act, which means that if you do them all b'heleim echad, and you're mezabech, then you're mekater, then you're mishtachaveh, then you, each one is considered a separate isur, just like the melachot of Shabbat. That if you do separate acts on Shabbat b'heleim echad, each av melacha you're chayav separately. So how could Abaye have said that lo tavdeim comes to say that they're all avodah echad? Right, again, since we didn't learn yesterday, so together I'll just review. Anything that you're chayav karet, when it comes to shkaga, right, you do it by accident, you bring a korban chatat. So the whole debate here is how many korbanot chatat you have to bring. Obviously, if you did it b'mezid, and you're going to get skila, or right, then you're obviously going to not get killed numerous times for the various acts. It sounds like right, what do you call it when people get double jeopardy? Right? No, when you get double death penalty, you get life sentences, number of life sentences, right? So there, concurrent life sentences. Okay, so there you can see that you might get pardoned for one, but when you're going to get killed, you're not going to get pardoned for one, and then
actually, concurrent isn't so bad; it's consecutive that doesn't work.
Consecutive would be more right. Would be more of the issue. Okay, so now, how could Abaye have said then, "Lo ta'avdeim as hakatuva sa'an kulan avodah achad"? When it says that the shalosh shachavod are to teach you one kedarka, one shalok kedarka, and one lechalek, which would disagree with exactly with what he said. So what's the answer? Very simply, lidvarav derabbi ami kamar v'lelo sfira le. He didn't hold that way. He was just explaining what was Rabbi Ami's logic, but he didn't agree with Rabbi Ami. Okay. Now that we quoted this, we're going to go into his three things he learns out of the Ishtachava. We're going to go in depth about that. Gufa. Amar Bai, Shalosh Ishtachavaot Babodat Kochavim Lama. Achad Kedarka, Achad Shalok Kedarka, Achad Chalek. So now the Gemara says, what do you mean? Echad l'kedarka. Kedarka, we already learned from l'kedarka, Me'echa ya'avdu agoyim ha'ele. You remember that pasuk? Echa, how did those non-Jews worship idols? We can't, lo tasun ken l'ashem alakechem, right? The same way they do it, we can't do it, which would teach you that you're not allowed to worship idols in the typical way that they're worshipped, which means that you don't need the pasuk, one of the pasukim about lishachavot, to teach you kedarka, because we already know that from a different pasuk. So that, it's already learned from there. So therefore, how do we read this? Ela, echat kedarka v'shelo kedarka. We'll explain this in a minute. V'echat l'shelo kedarka, v'echat l'chalek. Okay, again, the second two are the same. The first one is different. What does it mean? It means to teach you something that's kedarka v'lo kedarka. What does it mean, kedarka v'shelo kedarka? Kedarka is the typical fashion that it's worshipped. Let's say everyone bows down to this idol and you slaughter to this animal. That's generally, we would call that lo kedarka. But now the Gemara is saying that's actually kedarka v'shelo kedarka. Why? Because it's similar in the sense that it's worshipped in a respectful manner as opposed to those who we defecate in front of or throw rocks to. So if we're going to say kedarka is going to be something that's kedarka v'shelo kedarka means it's similar to the way it's worshipped, meaning this is generally worshipped in a respectful manner, and you worshipped it in a respectful manner. You might have done a different act than it is generally done, but that's kedarka v'shelo kedarka. And then shelo kedarka is, let's say you bow down in front of an idol that generally people defecate in front of. Okay, that would be the difference between kedarka and kedarka v'shelo kedarka, where it's similar but not exactly the same. Hamekablo alav be'eloha. We're now continuing along in the Mishnah of different people who get killed. Hamekablo alav be'eloha. Ha'omer lo eli ata. If you say to the God, you are my, the idol, you are my God. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, Amar Rav. So now Rav Nachman brings a statement in the name of Rav Ravua and the name of Rav. Kevan sha'amar lo eli ata chayav. Okay, as soon as you say eli ata, you're chayav. Now the obvious question is going to be, what do you mean? The Mishnah just said that. Why would Rav need to be mechadesh that if you said this, you're chayav? So lemai, what are you chayav in? Ilekatla, if it means you're chayav, you're going to get killed. Matznitin hi. It already says that explicitly in the Mishnah. Ela lekorban, ela lekorban. So it means that you have to bring a korban chatat. If you say eliata and you did it b'shkaga, you didn't know it was usher to do that, then you'd have to bring a korban. So now the Gemara says, "Va'filu l'rabanan, v'hatanya." Okay, today's Saf is going to get into basic principles about when you get malkot. It's a good lead into Masechet Malkot. We're going to get to which items is there an exception to the rule? Generally, you get malkot for any lo ta'aseh, a general lo ta'aseh. But we're going to learn that there's a whole bunch of categories of lo ta'asehs that you don't get malkot for. So the Gemara is going to say, and even according to Rabbanan, you're going to get malkot for saying Eliyata. What's the problem with saying Eliyata? In terms of getting malkot, anybody know? What category is generally you don't get malkot for? Lav, she'embo, maaseh. This is just speech. Speech you generally don't get malkot for because it doesn't have an action. It's not an act. It's a you've said something. Right? Constantly the Gemara grapples with this, your speech. On the other, we have Masechto. Full Masechto, talking about your speech, right? Nedarim, Nazir, all about what you said. And okay? Speech is very important and very damaging. However, it's not exactly considered an action. So there's always a bit of a struggle here between your speech. we've talked about many times, right? Your speech doesn't necessarily, you could say something you don't really mean it. Yes, which could mean yes, or it could mean no way. Right? So speech is tricky, and therefore we don't generally give malka for speech. So now they say, even according to Rabbanan, v'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita, eino chayav ela al davar sheyesh bo ma'aseh. You're only chayav malkot if it has an act associated, kigon, zibuach, v'kitur, v'nisuch, v'shtachava'ah. Right? Those are different. Slaughtering is an act, kitur, burning, nisuch, pouring a libation, and shtachava'ah is bowing. Those are all actions. V'amar Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish said about this braita, mantana hishtachava'ah, who's the one who says bowing, that bowing you're chayav for? Now the assumption is that bowing is not exactly an action either. Because bowing, you know, you bend your knee, it's the same way speech, maybe you meant something else, maybe you just bent down to get something, right? Bowing is not, I saw one of the translations, they said a strong action. Okay, they did differentiate between a mild action and a strong action. Shtachavah is sort of, so they say, who's the one who includes the shtachavah in this list of things that you got malko for? Rabbi Akiva hi, da'amar lo bi'ina ma'aseh. So now we learn that there's actually a machloket about lav she'en bo ma'aseh. Do you get malkot or not? Rabbi Akiva holds you get malkot. Okay, so therefore, who holds that you get malkot for shtachavah? It must be Rabbi Akiva. Okay, michlal, from here, what can one infer? The rabbis must hold you need an act, which means that Rav, they're going to say that he must be holding, in other words, they started with Rav, who said, you're chayav, a korban, if you say eliata. And then they say, is that even according to Rabbanan? Don't Rabbanan disagree with that, because Rabbanan hold, based on this braita and the interpretation of that braita, that you don't get makot for any lav she'en bo ma'aseh, including hishtachava'ah, which would therefore include saying the words eliata. So now the Gemara answers, ki ka'amar Rav, nami le Rabbi Akiva ka'amar. Okay, so now they say he was talking only according to Rabbi Akiva. So then they say, le Rabbi Akiva pshita, hainu megadech. But what do you mean? If you say eliata, that's the same thing as cursing in... Right, it's saying something blasphemous against God, okay? It's basically the same thing. To say Eliata, that's the same as blasphemy. So, Ma'u Ditema, Ad Kan Lo Machayev Rabbi Akiva Korban Ela B'Megadeth, Dichtiv Be'Karet. Aval Hacha Delo Dichtiv Be'Karet, Ema Lo. Okay, so now you might have thought that what? The Rabbi Akiva is only Machayev if you're actually Megadeth. Because the Megadeth, it said in the Pasuk that you get Chiyuv Karet for being a Megadeth, for being saying something blasphemous. But here, in terms of saying Eliata, it's not exactly blasphemy. And therefore, it doesn't say Karet, and you might have thought, lo. Did Kushe Kamashmalan, so therefore it comes to teach you, right? Rav is coming to say, Kevan Shamar Eliata Chayav. Ditkushe itkush. Then we make a hekesh on the pasuk. Techtiv vayishchavulo vayizbechulo. Okay, you have to read the whole pasuk here. This is a pasuk from in Shmot Lamed Bet about the Egel Azahav. Saru maher min aderech hasher tzibitim. They quickly left the path. Vasu lahem egel masecha. Now, what does it say here? Vayishchavulo. They bowed down to it. Vayizbechulo. They sacrificed to it. Vayomru, and they said, here he goes, Elu Elohecha Yisrael Asher Elucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. These are our gods that took us out of Egypt. So now what do you see? What were they punished for? For those three things. So you see that there's a hekesh. All these three things are mentioned in the pasuk together. So we're going to say, Dechtiv Vayishachavu Lo, Vayizbechu Lo, Vayomru V'chule. And therefore, Vayomru is going to get, you're going to be chayav, a korban, just like your chayav for all other acts, even though generally we might say there's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh, and you wouldn't get malkot, so even so, you're going to be punished for this. You would have to bring a korban. Now, we already mentioned this pasuk, Elu Elohecha Yisrael, and we're talking about someone who says Eliata, so now they're going to darshan this pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Il malei vav shebe he'elucha nitchayvu rishayhem shel Yisrael kliya. Okay, what's rishayhem shel Yisrael? That means the Jews. The Jews, when were they deserving of kleya? They really were deserving of destruction. But what saved them? that they said, Elo Elocha Yisrael, Asher He'elucha. He'elucha, and not He'elcha. He'elcha means, you took us out. Which would be saying, they're talking to the Egel, saying, you took us out. But what did they say? That you all took us out. What were they referring to?
Also Hashem.
Also Hashem, and also the Egel. That they didn't see the Egel was in place of God. They saw the Egel was with God. Okay, so therefore they said, because they used the Vav in He'elucha, that saved the Jewish people from being destroyed. Otherwise, we all would have been wiped out. So now we're going to see that this is actually Machloka Tanaim, about whether it's really true that it was better that they said Elohech, right? That they said He'elucha in the Rabbim. Kitanai, it's a Machloka Tanaim. Acherim omrim, others say, Ulmale Vav Shebe He'elucha Nitchayvu B'Shehem Shisra Kleah. The same thing we just said. Amar lo, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, it's interesting, they call it Acherim, but then it says Amar lo. He said to him, right? Acherim is probably a term, we just don't know who said it. They said, someone said, and then comes Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and says, Falo kolam ashatef shem shamayim vidavar acher, ne'ekar min ha'olam sheneemar, the pasuk we've seen a number of times, bilti la'Hashem levado, right? Only to God exclusively. Meaning that if you include God with some other God, that's no good, okay? That's also, you're ne'ekar min ha'olam. So therefore, they should have been deserving of death. According to him then, why weren't they deserving of death? Why weren't all the Jewish people wiped out? Because God had rachamim on us. But really, we were deserving of it. So that's the machlok between them. Were the Jewish people deserving of death, echeda egel, or were they not all deserving of death? Again, complete destruction. Ela matamu lamar asher he'elucha. So what does he say about he'elucha then? They were just praying to the Egel according to this. So no. She'ivu elohut harbe. They were praying to many gods, the Egel and other elilim. Okay, it wasn't just the Egel, it was other elilim, but it wasn't including Hashem. Aval hamigafef. Now we're back to the Mishnah. Hamigafef haminashek b'mechabeh b'merabet. These are all the actions that according to the Mishnah, you're not chayav the death penalty for. If you hug, you kiss, you clean, you sweep, wash, all the different actions. Ki ata Rav Dimi amar Rabbi Elazar, al kulam loke, you get malkot for all of these things, chutz mehanoder b'shmo v'amakayem b'shmo. On all those acts, though, even though you don't get the death penalty, you do get malkot for doing them. It's usur, and you get malkot. Except for which acts? Hanoder b'shmo, someone who bows in the name of the God, or someone who swears. Mekayem is to swear. Okay, swears in the name of the Elilim. Maishna, so now the Gemara asks, according to Rav Dimi, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Maishna hanoder b'shmo v'makayem b'shmo delo lake. What's the reason why you don't get malkot? Again, what's the obvious reason? Because it's a problem of speech, right? Delo lake mishum d'havelei lav shem b'mase. But haninami, but these also should be excluded for a different reason. There's another reason why things get excluded from the punishment of malkot. There's the minashek, merabetz, all of those actions. Why? Mishum dehavelei haninami lav shebechlalotu. Ve'en lokin a lav shebechlalot. What is a lav shebechlalot? It's a general isur that all come out of one pasuk. It's from one pasuk of not worshiping idols, we can learn many, many things that you can't do. You can't hug, you can't kiss, you can't do all of these actions to the idol. So that's called a lav shebechlalot. We'll see, the next example they give us of a lav shebechlalot is a little bit different than this. However, they still call it a lav shebechlalot. A lav shebechlalot is from one pasuk, we can learn many, many things, and the assumption is you don't get malkot on that, because, again, the Torah says don't do this, and you get malkot on it. But if it says don't do this, and this means many, many, many things, you don't get malkot on all those things, because it's hard to read all those things into the pasuk to say you have to get a chiyuv malkot. So if you have one pasuk, again, it'll be easier. The next example we bring is a much better example of this. But one pasuk teaches you many different things. What's the problem with this? It's many different things, but they're really all connected to the same thing. Soon we're going to see an example of one pasuk which teaches you many, many different isurim. Okay, there it's more logical to say you wouldn't get malkot for them. In this case, they're all kind of connected to the same act, but still they're going to call it a lav shebechlalot because it's one pasuk which can teach many, many, many things, and we don't get malkot on that. So they're saying like this. Yes, it's true that the others are lav shem b'maaseh, noder, nishpa, we understand, but these are all lav shebechlalot, so you shouldn't get malkot on those either. And how do we know that ein lokin a lav shebechlalot? D'tanya, Minayin la'ochel min ha'beima kodem she'teisei nafsha. We learned this, right, that the one of the eight mitzvot b'nei Noach, right? The eighth one was not to eat the blood from the animal. So actually, it's a little bit different. But this is not to eat the animal. It's actually not the same thing as that one, but not to eat the animal before it's totally dead. Okay, so let's say you're in the middle of shefting, and someone decides to eat a piece of the meat from the animal. So, or you know, you finish shefting,
sounds
but
like
the animal hasn't completely died. What?
Sounds
it's a little like Eber Menachai, right? It's kind of like Eber Menachai. So how do you know that you can't eat the animal before Shetetzei Nafsha, Shuba Lo Taseh? Talmud Lomar, Lo Tochlu Al Adam. Okay, it says you can't eat Al Hadam, on the blood. So how do they translate on the blood? It means while it's still, the Dam is the Nefesh, so while it still has its Nefesh, its Neshama. Davar Acher, we're going to basically darshan this Pasuk, Lo Tochlu Al Adam, in many, many ways. I didn't count how many, but I can do the count now. So the second one is, Lo Tochlu Al Adam, Lo Tochlu Basar, Va'adayin Dam Bamizrak, or Bamizrek, I think it's. The kli where they would, the Mizrek is the, I can't remember how you pronounce it, but it's the kli where they would collect the blood. When you would sacrifice the animals, remember, they collected the blood, and then they would sprinkle the blood, right? They would put it around the Mizbech, depending on which carbon, what they would do with the blood exactly. So you're not allowed to eat the blood. Lo tochlu al hadam means you can't eat the meat until al hadam, while the dam is still in the Mizrek, and it's not yet put around the Mizbech. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Minayin She'ein Mavrin al Harugei Beitin. How do we know that you don't do the Su'udat Havra'ah, right? That's the meal after the Avilim come back from the cemetery. There's a special meal that people make for the Avilim called Su'udat Havra'ah. How do we know you don't do that for Harugei Beitin, right? If your relative gets killed by the Beitin. Talmud Lamar, Lo Tochlu al Adam. Right? The Dam here is the person being killed, okay? That we don't have Lo Tochlu. We don't eat a meal because of the person who got killed by the Mita Beitin. Okay, and then we
that's
say...
Metaphoric.
What?
But here we're talking about real Lo Tochlu Al Adam, like in the Beit Mikdash or something. And here, that's metaphoric.
Yeah. Right, it's metaphoric, yes. We're going to interpret this pasuk in many, many, many different ways. I would say this is a very creative method of Midrash. So Lo Tochlu Al Adam means, what's the reason here given? Because again, you want the person not to get kapara, not to have honor, so that they will be mitkaper, and they'll get kapara, and you know, in the heavens, they'll forgive them. It's another way of doing bizayon lamet, in a way to achieve kapara for the mate. Rabbi Akiva Omer, minayin l'sanedrin shargu at hanefesh, she'ein toamim klum kolo toayom. Talmud lamar lo tochlu al adam. If the Sanhedrin is going to execute someone, they're not allowed to eat that entire day. Okay, they have to fast, basically, because lo tochlu, while you're about to kill somebody. This is an interesting issue of like sensitivity, maybe, right? For them to feel more, be focused on what they're doing, and be more sensitive to the situation. Azhara leben sorer mora minayin. How do we know? Where do we see an azhara for the ben sorer mora? He's not allowed to do these things. Lo tochlu, Talmud Lamar, lo tochlu al adam. He's not allowed to eat in a way that will cause him to get killed. If you remember, I don't know if you know this, but we're going to learn it about the Ben Sorer Mora. He eats a lot, right? He's a lel v'soveh. He eats a ton of food, and that causes his death. So basically, they're saying, don't eat in a way that's going to cause you to die. Okay, so again, each time it's interpreted very differently. V'amar Rabbi Av and Amar Rabbi Chiya, v'itemar Rabbi Av and Bar Kahana. Al kulam eino lokem mishum dehavile lav shebichlalot. Here you see there's a classic example, lav shebichlalot. None of those people get malka for what they did because it's one pasuk which teaches many, many different things. So here you see that you don't get malka for lav shebichlalot, and therefore the Gemara now rejects. We have to go all the way back. Where were we? Rav Dimi said in the name of Rabbi Elazar that you get malka for minashek and all those acts, but you don't get for nishba and noder. To which the Gemara responds, but what do you mean? You don't get for Nishba ben Oder because it's Lav Shem B'Masa, but you also don't get for the others because it's a Lav Shem B'Chlelo. So therefore, they reject what he said. So, Ela ki ata Ravin, Amar Rabbi Elazar, just to review, Ravin and Rav Dimi were both Emoraim that would go from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and they brought the Torah of Rabbi Elazar, who was an Emorah from Eretz Yisrael, and it was a matter of, you know, bringing the right version. So first Rav Dimi brought it and I said, what are you talking about? Then Rabin comes and he gives us a more correct version. Al kulan eno lochke. Okay, you don't get malkot on any of them. Chutz min hanoder b'shmo v'makayim b'shmo. The exact opposite. Okay, you don't get malkot on anything except for noder b'nishba. So now you can see where the Gemara is going to go. Ma'ishna ahanach de lo lake, davele lav shebechlelo. Haninami, lav shein bo ma'asin inhu. Right? In other words, if you're not going to get malkot for the first category, because they're all lav shebechlelo, you're also not going to get malkot for noder b'nishba, because it's a lav shein bo ma'asin. So what's going to be the obvious answer? Ha'u ke Rabbi Yehuda. Ah, this goes like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda had a different shita about lav shein bo ma'aseh. There's lav shebechlelo, everyone agreed you don't get malkot. But lav shein bo ma'aseh, there's a machloket about whether you get malkot or whether you don't. Damar lav shein bo ma'aseh lokin alav. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says you do get malkot for it. Titania, where do we see that? Lo totur mimenu aboker. Okay, here's another category of cases where you don't get you don't get malkot. This is called the lav hanitak la'ase. It's a category, this is all a good intro to malkot. It's a category of a lav where you say, don't do this, and then the correction, if you did it, how do you correct it, is brought after. The assumption is that malkot is a way to get you to correct your act. So if the Torah already gives you a prescription, this is what you do to correct your act, if you do it wrong, then you don't get malkot for it, because malkot is viewed as a way of repenting. But if you have another way to do it, right, then to fix it. So here's the example. Remember, notar, you're not allowed to leave over from the korban to the next morning. You have to eat it all that night. So lo totur mimenu aboker. You remember what happens in the rest of that pasuk? Vanotar mimenu aboker ba'esh tisrofu. And whatever you do, if you were to leave over something from the morning, you burn it. So that's what's called a lavani taklase. It already corrects what you do. How do you fix it if you did it wrong? So ba katuv liten ase achar lo taase. Lomar she'en lo kin alav divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get malkot for this. Rabbi Yaakov omer lo min hashem uzeh. That's not the reason why you don't get malkot. Ela mishum, the reason you don't get malkot for lo totur mimenu aboker is for a totally different reason. What's the different reason? Mishum dehavalei lav she'en bo ma'aseh. There's no ma'aseh. If you don't eat the meat, you haven't done an act. You haven't done an act. Right? You haven't done anything in actuality. You just didn't do anything. Like we call it a sheva al ta'aseh. So because of that, it's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. V'chol lav she'en bo ma'aseh ein lo kin alav. So he says the reason lo totur mimenu aboker is because it's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. Now Rabbi Yehuda didn't say it's because it's a lav she'en bo ma'aseh. He said it's a lav nitak la'aseh. So what's the assumption? Michla, from here you can infer to Rabbi Yehuda savar lo kin alav. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda didn't think that it had to say it's a lav nitak la'aseh is because he held that lav she'en bo ma'aseh you actually do get malkot for. And therefore they say that Rabbi Elazar's statement that first Rav Dimi tried to bring, but he brought the wrong version. Or at least that's what Gemara concludes, it was the wrong version. Ravin then brings the right version, the doctor, you do get malkot for the noder and the nishba, because Rabbi Elazar held like Rabbi Yehuda, the lav shein bo ma'aseh lo kin alav. Okay? But since we passed in the lav shein bo ma'aseh ain lo kin alav, according to the Pesach, you wouldn't really get malkot for this. Okay. Hanoder b'shmo v'hamakayim b'shmo hareze b'lo taseh. Okay? That's in the Mishnah. So remember, the Mishnah was talking about all the things you get mavet for, right? But then there were all these other things that you get, it's just a lo taseh, which again, would be malkot. On the other hand, we're going to see that all these cases we just said were excluded from malkot. Hanoder b'shmo v'makayim b'shmo minalam. Where do we learn the isur to be noder in the name of Ovei Kochavim or to be nishba in the name of Ovei Kochavim? Titania v'shem Elohim acherim lo tazkiru. Here's a braita that quotes this pasuk. Again, we're going to quote various pesukim about Avodah Zarah. So, Shem Elohim Achirim, you can't mention, lo tazkiru, don't mention the name of other gods. Shelo yomar adam l'chaviro, what's included in don't mention the name of Avodah Zarah? Shelo yomar adam l'chaviro, shmor li b'tzad avodat kochavim plonit. Don't use it as a landmark and say, oh, go watch, you know, watch this for me next to this, right, next to the church, or, right, I don't know if a church would be considered this, but right, but next to the Avodat Kochavim. Okay. This Buddha, right, that would be, right, Mimi by the big Buddha, right, that would be, okay? Lo yishama al piv. Okay, this is the continuation of that pasuk. Okay, here's the pasuk. Let me just read it. It's from Shmo Kaf Gimel Yud Gimel. Uvachol asher amarti alechem tishameru, v'shem Elohim achirim lo tazkiru, lo yishama al picha. It shouldn't be heard on your lips or on your mouth. Lo yishama al picha. So what's that? Shelo yador b'shmo v'lo yikayem b'shmo. Okay, so the first two things are don't make a neder, right? It shouldn't be heard from your mouth. Don't make a neder in its name, or don't take a shvu in its name. V'lo yigrom la'acherim sheyidru b'shmo v'yikayemu b'shmo. And don't make others, meaning even non-Jews, you can't make them take a shvu or a neder in the name of their avodah kochavim. Tavar acher, lo yishama al picha, a different interpretation of lo yishama al picha is ashara lemesitu mediach. It's teaching you lo yishama al picha means don't speak about it to others to try to convince them to go worship avodah zarah. Not just to cause others. No, that's not such a big deal, but to be a mesid or a mediach. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. But mesid behed yaktiv be. But there's a whole section on mesid in the Torah. You wouldn't need to learn it from the words lo yishama al picha. A mesid is mentioned explicitly. V'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yirau. Right? Everyone will see and know not to be a mesid. It's just quoting some of the psukim there. V'yiru, v'yirau v'chulei. Ela, so what do they say? Azhara l'mediach. Okay, but there's nowhere in the Torah it talks about a mesit, which is an individual who goes over to a person or a few people and says, come with me and let's worship Avodah Zarah. And then the Torah talks about an ir hanidacha, which is a city that the entire city goes and worships Avodah Zarah. But it never mentions explicitly, what if you're the person who convinced an entire city to go worship Avodah Zarah? So now the Gemara says, that's what's referenced in this braita. When it says, Lo yishama al picha is from mesit or mediach. It means a mediach, an entire city. Okay, because that's not mentioned in the Torah. V'lo yigru la'achirim sheyidru b'shmo v'sheyikaymu b'shmo. Okay, based on this other line in the Braita, that you shouldn't cause others to make a neder or a shvua in the name of God, meaning don't make non-Jews even worship, make vows and swear in the name of Avodah Kochavim. Misayele la'avua d'shmuel. This supports what Avua d'shmuel said, the father of Shmuel. Da'am Avua d'shmuel. It's a very interesting halacha. Asur la'adam she'aseh shutafut im ha'ovei kochavim, shema yitchayev lo shvua v'nishpa v'avodah kochavim shelo. Fascinating. You cannot go into a partnership with a non-Jew or an ovei kochavim because what are we worried? That you'll be high of a shvu, that maybe you'll get into some disagreement, which generally happens when people go into business partnerships together, and he'll have to swear to you about something, and then you've been over this isser of causing someone else to swear in the name of Avodah Kochavim. So, this is a very big halacha. What does this mean? You can't go into partnerships with non-Jews. First of all, people do it lots of times to avoid halachic problems. Shabbat, if they want to keep open on Shabbat, you can have, you know, the non-Jewish part be owned. There's all sorts of ways to do it. So obviously, I had to look this up because it's, you know, it's very relevant and practical. So again, you can take the Meiri's approach to everything, which is it's only Avodah Kochavim, which means, you know, only those who worship idols and not Christians. So anyway, the Rambam quotes this verbatim, and he says, in Sefer HaKinyan, Hochot Shluchim B'Shutafin, he says in Perakei Al-Chayud, Asur Lishtateh from Ovei Avodah Zarah, Shem Yitcheyev Lo Shvua, V'Yishbiu B'Yirato. Okay, fine, that's something else. The Hagahot Maimonio. Now, the Rambam was living in Muslim Spain, you know, and which they have a little bit less interactions. They interacted a lot, but a little bit of less business dealings than what was going on in the Christian areas in Europe, where it was more the Ashkenazim, which had a lot of maga with the non-Jews, and there's tons of, you know, business dealings, etc. So obviously, they're going to have to relate to this. So the Hagahot Maimonio, which is an Ashkenazi commentary in the Middle Ages on this halacha, says, Perish Re'em, he quotes the Re'em, which is also from Germany, She'ein asur ela shutafut she'mishtatfim v'ma'otehem v'konim yacha b'shutafut. So first of all, it's only things where you actually join your monies together and buy, but lisav alitem mutar, but for sure business dealings, selling, buying is for sure okay. Otherwise, nobody there would have been able to function. Okay, kedita bereish. Now he quotes it though. Kedita bereish avodah zarah. He says in Masechet Avodah Zarah, we'll get to this. Delo asar ela bimei edehem. So he quotes the Mishnah, the Gemara there, which says it's only asar when it's their holidays to do business with them. So obviously, he says it's us from the fact that it's us to do business with them on their holidays. It means that you're allowed to do it when it's not their holidays. We'll get to it there. What the issues are there. Bitanya, and he quotes all sorts of other braytot. Hochim yirid shel goyim v'lochim ehem v'chulei v'chein harbei b'tamud. Okay. But then it goes on. He goes on to say, Upasak Rashbam, the Rashbam also from Ashkenazi countries, She'im nishtatek b'chayav shvu'a mutar l'kabel mipnei shehu kimeitzil miadam. Now they go another step further and they said, listen, but if you did it anyway and then you have a business problem, then you're allowed to have him swear because you're basically saving your money from a non-Jew's hands. So in other words, you shouldn't get into business dealings like Atchila, but if you did, it's okay for him to swear because you're basically trying to get your money back. You have to remember, because the relations were, as on the one hand they had good relations, on the other hand there were also a lot of negative, you know, issues going on between them, and it was like, oh, get your money out of the non-Jew's hands. Kind of like today, right? We don't want money going to Hezbollah or something because they're trying to kill us, right? Things like that, you could say, right? There's issues that probably influence them there. Perek Batra de Megillah Mashma, Sherabim lo hayunis harim yizeh. But then he says, here's the best proof. In Megillah, it seems to imply that nobody was doing this. How do we know? And this is a famous phrase you see in the Gemara that it always means that most people aren't doing this. He says, I should be rewarded. Titili means I get a reward because I do shutafut imagoy. Which means, I do it, right? I should get rewarded because I'm doing what most people aren't doing. Which means that it doesn't mean it's usher to do it because everyone's doing it. It's not usher, but it means that I'm doing something that most people aren't doing. Which means, obviously, they assume if most people were doing it, then it must be mutar. Okay, so there it says explicitly that only, you know, he was not doing shutfut imagoy. He was like on a higher level. But the regulars were doing it, meaning it was okay. And now, ve'od b'zman hazeh, hem nishba'im b'kodashim, ve'ein tofsim b'hem elohut, af al pi shemazkirim shem shamayim imahem, lo matzinu she'eh asur legrom la'acherim l'shatef. So then he says, and also, they're nishba'im, when they swear, they're nishba' in the name of God, because they're Christians. So again, he says like the Meiri, that they're not swearing in the name of Psalim, they're swearing in the name of our God even. So yes, they're swearing in other things also, but because it's not Avodah Kohavim, so basically he gives all sorts of reasons to say, nowadays it's allowed. So I wanted to show you also methodologically how people go about proving that things are allowed when it seems they're not. You know, so he starts bringing all sorts of other sources, early sources, and then he gives additional, right? And also, it looked like in the beginning it was limited, you know, yes, you can buy, but you can't this. But then, over time, you know, they kind of said, oh, well, we need to expand it more and more, and then they, again, brought sources back there, or reinterpreted things by saying, oh, well, they're not swearing in the name of Elilim anymore, so it's okay. So, back to our sugya. Ki'ata Ula, when Ula came, Bat Bekal Nevo, he slept in Kal Nevo. We're going to see in a minute that Nevo is the name of a god, and Kal Nevo was probably a reference to the god Kal Nevo. It was almost like I'm a little bit making fun of it, like Nevo is Kal. But it was called Kal Nevo, and it included the name of an Avodah Zarah in the name of the city. So Amar Le Rava, Behecha Bat Mar, where did you sleep? Amar Le Bekal Nevo. But how did you just say the name of Elohim Acharim? You're not allowed to say it. This is very similar to the you know, they all left the court when, you know, in other words, they didn't say, okay, yassi, yassi. Right? You're not allowed to say it. Amar le hacham Rabbi Yochanan. This is Rabbi Yochanan said, kol avodah kochavim haktuva b'torah mutar lazkir shema. If it's said in the Torah, then you're allowed to, because the assumption is you can read from the Torah. And if this is mentioned in the Torah, if that Elil is mentioned in the Torah, you're allowed to say its name. Aha, it's an interesting, you know, out, right? Okay, so this one's okay. Aha, hecha ktiva, where does it say it in the Torah? Dechtiv, kara bel, karas nivo. Okay, bel crouched, and nivo stooped. Vilo ktiva, lo, but now you're going to tell me, so I can't say any name of any allele if it's not written in the Torah. Mativ Rav Masharshia, Rav Masharshia questions, ra'a chat murubah kishalosh. If somebody sees, okay, now we're talking about a totally different category. Someone has a zav, it's a male has some sort of discharge, which there's one seeing it once, they're seeing it twice, they're seeing three zavim. If you see a zav, like a discharge three times, then if you're called a zav gadol, you have also, they have to wait 7 clean days, like a woman with nida, which really it's not a woman with nida, it's a woman with zava. We're all safek zavot. But anyway, if you have one re'iyah that's, it just keeps flowing, and it's like shalosh, Shehi, how long would that be? K'migdayon l'shiloh. It's like from Migdayon, and most people say it's to the Shiloh. It's a place in Jerusalem to another place in Jerusalem, right to the Shiloh. Shehem shtei tfilot u'shnei sifugim. It's like the time it would take you to dip twice in the mikveh and dry yourself two times, dry off. Harei zeh zav gamor. Then that length of time turns you into a zav gamor, like a zav gadol. Sama Ravina, what's the problem here? Migdayon is from the god of called God. Okay? Sounds like God, but okay, God. So Sama Ravina, God nami michtav kativ. It's also said in the Torah. That's not a question. You know, they're saying, how can you say Kimigdayon? It's the name of a god. So they say no, because God also is said in the Torah. Where? Dachtiv, Haorchim Lagad Shulchan. Okay, and there God is mentioned, who is a pesel, an Eliel. Amrav Nachman, kol leitzanuta asira, chutz mi leitzanuta d'avodah kochavim. You're not allowed to make fun of anything except for mocking avodah kochavim, disharia. How do we know? Dichtiv karabel karas nivo, karso karu yachdav, lo yachlu mi leit masa. This is the pasuk. What does it mean? They crouched down because they couldn't handle their burden. The point is that they crouched down and defecated. That's the assumption. Okay, it's like a mockery of the Elilim that they defecated because they couldn't tolerate what was going on in their stomachs. Uktiv, dibru la'agalot beit aven, yaguru, shachen shomron. Okay, so speak to the eglot of beit aven, which is the Avodah Zarah. Yaguru shachen shomron. The people living in Shomron will be fearful of it. Ki avel, Kiavel alav amo, because the people were an avilu for it. Kamarav alav yagilu. The priests of this Eliel were happy. Al kvodo ki galami menu, on the respect of that Eliel, because it was no longer. So al tikre kvodo ela kvedo. Again, it's the same thing. It's kvedo. It was so heavy that it defecated. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv ata yosifu lachto ve'yasu lehem masecha mikaspam kitvunam atzabim. So now, what does this mean? Va'ata yosifu lachto, right? So they keep sinning, and they made masecha, right? They made a pesel out of silver. Kitvunam atzabim. So my kitvunam atzabim, right? Atzabim or elilim. So what does it mean, kitvunam atzabim? Melamed shekol chavechad asa dmut yirato. Everybody made an image of their god. Umenicha b'kiso, and left it in their pockets. B'sha'as shezochra, when they remember about their Eliel, motzi'a mitoch heiko u'mechabka u'menashka. Okay, so they would take it out and they would hug and kiss it. We're just darshening all different pesukim about Elilim. Mai zavchei adam agalin yishakun. What does this pasuk mean? Which sounds like those who sacrifice Adam will kiss the egel. So am Rabbi Yitzchak, debe Rabbi Ami, shahayu mesharte avodat kochavim notnin enehem b'ba'alei mamon. Okay, the people who serve the Elilim would look upon the rich people, umar ivim et ha'agalim, and they would get the agalim very rich, vosin dmut atzabim, and they would make an image of the rich people, umamidam mitzad avusehem, and they would put it right next to where the calves were eating. So what would happen? They would eat and see the image of these rich people. So now what would happen? They thought that the rich people provided them with food, because every time they ate, they saw these rich people. So then, motzi'in otam lachutz, then they would let the animals out. Kevan shera'u otam ratzim achareihem u'mimashmashim bahen. Then, what happened? These rich people would see the agalim running to them and like kissing them. That's where the nishika, the yishaku, they would kiss. Umrim lo, and then they would say to the rich people, avodat kochavim chafetz b'cha, yavo v'yizbach atzmo lo. Okay, so they would say, look, the agalim were the people that were the animals they worship. They'd say, look, the gods are begging you to come worship them. And then, right, Yavovi is bachatz molo, and you should go sacrifice yourself to them. So that's how they explain Zovche Adam Agalim Yishakun, which really means, right, the agalim will kiss those who then will come, right, once the agalim kiss them, then they'll come to be Zoveach Adam. That will be their way of, right, the agalim come and kiss them, and they say, oh, they obviously want me, and then they would go sacrifice themselves. So Amarava, it doesn't work with the pasuk. Hai Zovchei Adam, agalim yishakun. Doesn't make sense. Agalim yishakun lizvoach Adam. Right, the agalim will kiss in order to cause people to sacrifice themselves. Mebaile. So El Amarava, Rava says, this is what it means. Kol Zoveach Epinyo Lavadak Kochavim. Amarlo, anyone who sacrifices their son to avodah kochavim, that's zochei adam. Amar lo, it's told him, Doron gadol hikriv lo, yavov yishak lo. You gave a great gift to the god, now the god will come, now you can come and kiss the egel. In other words, you've done something so great, you now have the honor that you can be the one who can kiss the egel. That's what it means. Zavchei adam galim yishak. Okay, we'll do one few more drashot and we'll finish here. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabba, Anshei Babel asu et sukot binot. We're now going to have just a slew of psukim. I'll read through them quickly about drashot on what sukot binot. That's tarnigolet. Anshei kut asu et nargel. Umayniu tarnigol. These are all different animals that were worshipped and they were called other names in the psukim. Anshei chamat asu et ashima. Umayniu barcha karcha. That's a bald billy goat. V'ha'avim asu et nifcham ve'atartak. Umayniu kelev v'chavor. That's a dog and a donkey. V'asafravim sorfim b'neim ba'esh. La'adar melech va'an melech, Elohei safvarim, umayniu, what are these? Hapere v'hasus. Adar melech is da'adole lamare b'ti'ina, that's they adore, right, what's adar? They, adarle lamare b'ti'ina, they honored their god b'ti'ina by carrying, va'an melech da'anele lamare b'kirba, they answer them in the battle, and they went out to them in battle. Okay, and Af Chizkiyahu HaMelech will end with this line. Bikesh Aviv la'asot lo kein. He wanted to do that. He wanted to offer him. Okay, this goes back to the offering the sons to the god. Chizkiyahu's father wanted to send Chizkiyahu to be burned to the Eliel. Ela shesachato imo salamandra. If you remember, we came across the salamandra before. It was believed to be some sort of something, some sort of creature that was created out of fire, and therefore they say that if you put this salamander, you rub it on your body, since it was made in fire, it makes you unflammable. So basically, she protected him from being burned using this salamander. Okay, we had it in a very interesting context. Can't remember now, but this came up. Maybe I'll look it up and I'll remind ourselves. But some people say the salamander itself is very moist, and because of that, it's a real salamander. But some people say, no, it can't possibly be referring to an actual salamander.